Well, good morning. Happy birthday to all the, what is that, September babies, right? I see a lot of Lays, a lot more Lays than I've kind of noticed before, but happy birthday, absolutely. And I noticed that Giselle stole my line. Yeah, she told you guys to hydrate, make sure everybody's hydrating. Because how many of you guys know that a church, cool, a church that perspires together prospers together, amen. So we're all about prosperity over here as we perspire a whole heck of a lot. So make sure you guys are drinking a lot, right? And look out for each other, right? Cool. Look out for each other. We don't want anybody passing out. Amen. So anyway. But we are in the middle of the Soul Shift series. Now, how many of you guys have already experienced a shifting in your soul? Yeah, I mean, there's something going on. There's just something different, maybe about the way you look at things, maybe foundationally, you're maybe, you know, with the Holy Spirit, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you guys are making adjustments in your life. That's really what it's all about. It's really about, I believe, course correcting. You know, I believe that Jesus Christ has a standard for us, and as we profess to be Christ followers, yeah, we constantly make adjustments in our life. And as we talk today about looking at the seen and then looking at the unseen, how many of you guys believe that there's a lot going on in the unseen that we cannot pick out with our physical eyes? Yeah, because we got to look with our hearts. Amen. A lot of stuff going on. And, you know, Scripture tells us we walk by faith and not by eyeballs, right? Not by sight. So, you know, sometimes what we see here, right, our physical eyes can be deceiving. Amen. I love you, Greg. You're awesome, man. Very encouraging. Absolutely. So today, as we go into the seen and the unseen, you know, if you know me for a while, I like to do the review. Am I on, Chris? Sorry, babe. Okay. Soul Shift, the measure of a life transformed. Week one, remember we talked about our soul is where the Lord wants to meet you. Amen. We are physical beings, yes, but more so, more significantly, I like to believe, that we are spirit, soul, mind, right? God connects with us through our soul. Can I get an amen? Because when we leave this earth, and there will be a day when we leave this earth, we will spend time with God for all eternity in our heavenly bodies, right? In another realm, in a spirit realm. Number two, as God transforms us, we shift from our flesh to His spirit. Now ask yourself, what does the flesh mean to you, right? It could be a carnal, kind of a fleshly way of living, right? So we shift from that. Some of us, where we have a bad temper, we get upset easily, right? We snap all the time. And so maybe God wants us to shift from that. Maybe we're stuck on substances like alcohol or, you know, drugs and different things like that, different addictions in our life. And God wants us to shift from that. Amen. And then we talked about allowing God to make seven shifts within you. Now, I'm not going to go through those seven shifts. You guys got to go see that message all over again. Go watch that message. And I can't even remember it off the top of my head, right? But we have seven shifts that we're going to talk about for this entire series. Week two, we talked about needing to decrease so that God can increase in our lives. Amen? Sometimes, and of course, you know, Pastor Mike, when he came and he did his message, he does a wonderful example about how when he went to the trip in Oregon and his head was in the way, so you couldn't see that big rock behind him. And so he needed to decrease in order to be able to see that rock, right, in the screen. And in the same way, sometimes we leave no room for God because we fill it with ourselves. Amen. So we need to learn to decrease so that God can increase in our lives. And I believe as the Lord is continuing to make His presence known, right, in each and every single one of our lives, sometimes, a lot of times, oftentimes, we don't recognize Him. Yeah? Number two, connect to the source of love. Not only is Jesus Christ the essence of love, he exemplified love. Why do we say that? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life. It all comes from love as the source. So we know that Jesus, the physical manifestation of who God is, we connect to God through Jesus Christ because he is the source of love. And then number three, giving to others what God has given to you. Now, learning how to give it away. One of my mentors in life constantly says, we need to take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on other people. We need to take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on other people. Oftentimes, when we find ourselves in trouble, I don't know, maybe like a bad temper, we're upset at something. That's because we're being selfish and we're being, you know, fleshly and all that kind of stuff. But when we learn to take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on somebody else, all of a sudden our problems kind of disappear a little bit. Don't you agree? And I'm not trying to, you know, belittle or, you know, whatever it is that we're going through. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying sweep it under the carpet. I'm saying that, yeah, we have to kind of grow through it. I'll just wait for the siren. Kind of grow through it, but at the same time, you know, there's always somebody to encourage, always somebody to uplift, always somebody to love on, because we're all designed for relationships. Can I get an amen? And that's a wonderful, wonderful way to live. So giving to others what God has given to you. And then, of course, last week, Pastor Teresa talked about having a DTR talk with God. Now, how many of you guys remember what DTR stands for? I saw Grant raise his hands. Shout it out, brother. Defining the relationship. Woo! He's walking all in swagger and all. Woo! That's right. DTR. What does that mean? Having a defining the relationship talk with God. And it truly, 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 truly self-assessing, looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, what kind of relationship do I have with you, Jesus? Right? Do I have a superficial relationship? Do I have a relationship that goes deep? Do I need to work on my intimacy with you, God? How do I work on my intimacy with you? Amen? So a lot of these things, it's healthy for all of us to ask ourselves these questions. So great job, Grant, defining the relationship. And of course, that translates to the relationships that we have horizontally as well. I'm looking at Teresa, and I'm thinking, okay, let's define our relationship. Yeah, so what? We've been married for, how long have we been married, 25 years? I don't even remember. I don't keep track anymore. She reminds me, okay, yeah. Micah's age minus one. Okay, yeah. All right. How old are you, Micah? Right. But defining the relationship, right? What does my wife mean to me? What does she do for me? She completes me. She encourages me. She keeps me in line. She keeps me in check. And I like to think that I kind of soften her rough edges a little bit too, you know? So, hey, it works. You see what I'm saying? And then, of course, number two, to relinquish our slavery mentality, relinquish our slavery mindset. What are the things that we might be in bondage to? What are the chains in our life that keep us down? And, of course, allowing Jesus to help us break those chains, right? And to receive sonship and daughtership, because the Word of God tells us that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I remind myself all the time that I am the son of the king. Well, if I am a son of the king, that makes me royalty. Right, brothers and sisters, and you too as well. If you are a Jesus Christ follower and you gave Jesus Christ your life, you're now in the family of God, you are now a son or a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And guess what that makes you? Royalty, right? So turn to your neighbor, point a finger at him, and say, you are royalty. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I know I am. That's right. Amen. Then number three, look at him again and say, don't act like a child. Become a child.
of Almighty God. Right? The Most High, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Right? So that makes you royalty. You are a prince, a princess. Hallelujah, amen and amen. That was last week's message from going from slave to child. And then today we're going to talk about seeing the things that are unseen, meaning that there are, like I said, there are things going on in our midst, and God wanting to show us, God wanting to prove to us that He is here. We sing that song, God is here. God is, I'm not going to sing, right? Or Brother Jeff just walked up to me this morning and he said, you know, Pastor Glenn, the next time we do a worship concert again, do that song, Your Presence is Heaven to Me. One of my favorite songs because of that message, right? The presence of God. And then what are we looking for? We're looking for evidence that God is with us, but also understanding that there is a collision between heaven and earth. And I like to believe that this collision is happening right now in New Hope Hala'iva, amen? Amen? Woohoo! Seen to unseen, being able to see those types of things. So I like to read this definition. But Isaiah 55, it tells us this. The Lord says, your thoughts are not like my thoughts. Your ways are not like my ways. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now notice that God, or Isaiah the prophet, speaking through Isaiah, he's referring to our thoughts. Everybody say thoughts. So you know what that says to me? That says we ought to be thinking like how God thinks. Can everybody see that? Right? Make sense? So the key is to understand how God thinks about certain things in our life, right? Again, defining relationships or looking at certain things that are happening in the world. I know Teresa just talked about we have Halloween coming up and there's a big, I don't know, just a sensational, the world tends to sensationalize Halloween. So now I'm noticing that there's a lot more horror movies that are coming out and all this kind of stuff, but you know, I don't necessarily agree with that because there's a sensationalizing of the darkness of the world and all this kind of stuff. But as we look from seen to unseen, you talk to a lot of these people and they say, oh, well, that's just fun stuff. I get that. But at the same time, if you believe that there is a dark side to the spirit world, you have to believe that there's a light side to the spirit world as well. Can I get an amen? And that's what a lot of the world are not looking at. You just look at the dark side as a form of entertainment. Of course, we don't judge all that kind of stuff, but you see how a lot of people can, they train their mind to think a certain way, right? And so as we read this passage right here, God is saying, your thoughts ought to be like mine, but know that my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So let's elevate, right? I mean, that's what God is saying to me. That's what I believe God is saying to us. Let's elevate our way of thinking. You guys see that? Seen to unseen. Now, take a look at this. You guys have heard the saying, seeing the trees, the forest from the trees, right? What do you focus on, right? Now, when you guys see it, I don't know if you guys can see it on the screens. Can you guys see it? Right over here? You guys see that? Seen, unseen. I don't know if you guys can see that, but Teresa and I, we were in Silverton, Oregon, not too long ago, and I took a picture of Bigfoot. You guys can see him, right? You guys see that? You guys see? We were walking in this forest, right? And I look, and somebody, I guess it was made out of metal, so they kind of welded out a silhouette of Bigfoot, and it startled me. It did, so I took a picture of it, and I was like, hey, I can use this for a sermon illustration, you know, one time, so I'm glad I took the picture. But yeah, I mean, we're focusing on the trees, right? And what God is telling us, essentially, is this is God's view. Right? I mean, we know that God sees this, and he's telling us, You can't see the forest for the trees. So as God is teaching us to elevate our way of thinking, we only see one certain aspect, but God is trying to broaden our mind from an aerial view and say, no, I see all of this that you can't see, so trust me and seek me out, right, so that I can show you what I see and I can teach you what I see. Does that make sense? Everybody following me? So you can't see the forest for the trees. Week four, now I love this definition. Seeing the unseen is a shift in values from embracing things that are temporary to those that are eternal. So you see the shift that is going to happen in our lives. We are born into a tangible world that we can touch, smell, see, and feel. So we have five senses, yeah? Five senses, but right next to our heads, as close as the air we breathe, is a kingdom that is eternal and invisible, right? So this is the point where a lot of people think, wow, Pastor Glenn, you're kind of crazy out there, right? Imagination is going wild. But my argument to that is, okay, well, if you're celebrating Halloween, you must believe that there's a dark side to the spirit world. Why not believe there's a light side to the spirit world? Yeah. Over time, God will teach us how to see a kingdom that, although invisible, is approaching with unnerving speed. So there is a sense of urgency with the understanding that God is establishing his kingdom among us. God wants us to learn to see now what we will have no problem seeing after we are in heaven. Why? Because we are not limited by our physical eyes. Things we once considered unimportant will have a new urgency, and things we once valued might become more trivial. So you see the shift happening in values, the shift happening in our priorities, right? So turn to your neighbor and say, holy shift. Okay, be careful. Be careful now, guys. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, it says, the king of Aram was at war with Israel. He had a council meeting with his officers. He said, I will set up my camp in this place. I love all my military brothers and sisters here, right? Military. Whoa. I will set up my camp in this place. But Elisha sent a message to the king of Israel. It said, be careful, don't pass that place, for the Arameans are going down there. Basically, the Arameans are at war with Israel, with Judah more specifically. And they conquered all these different cities except for Jerusalem. And that's where the king of Israel is. Right? And so what they're doing is they're setting up an ambush. They're setting up an ambush knowing that they're going to pass through there. But Elisha the prophet, the king of the man of God, he says this. Watch, the king of Israel checked the place about which Elisha had warned him. Elisha warned him several times. So the king added guards in those places. The king of Aram was angry about this, for he called his officers together. Everybody say Aram is the bad guy. Just so I know that everybody's following along, yeah? He said to them, tell me who of us is working for the king of Israel. So what's going on? Aram and the Arameans are planning to ambush Israel, the king of Israel and his army. Elisha, who is the prophet of God, understands all this because he's getting his direct download from God, and he's telling the king of Israel what the Arameans are planning to do. So now the king caught wind of this. Aram, the bad guy, he caught wind of this, and he's saying, how do they know all this stuff, right? And it's because Elisha sees what is unseen. You guys following? Number 12, verse 12, when one of the officers of the king of Aram said, know my master and king, it's Elisha, the prophet from Israel. He can tell you what you speak in your bedroom. I mean, that's how close he hears for God. He listens to God. The king said, go and find him, then I can send men and catch him. The servants came back and reported he is in Dothan. So So the intel came back, right? He is in Dothan. So let's go get him, right? Number one, engage in the unseen world, just like Elisha is. Now what's fascinating to me, right, is how the heck can somebody hear the voice of God that clearly? Does anybody wonder that kind of stuff? And have you often asked yourself, do I have that capability to hear the voice of God that clearly? Am I the only one, or has anybody asked yourself that? Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the answer to that is yes. Everyone has the capability to be able to hear the voice that clearly as Elisha did, okay? But number one, we are to engage the unseen world. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those," everybody say, strengthen, "whose hearts are fully committed to him." Now, why was Elisha able to hear the voice of God that clearly? Because he was committed to him. Okay? Again, we're not comparing ourselves to so-and-so and to so-and-so. That person has been walking with the Lord for a long time and they're more holy. There's no such thing as holier than thou and all this kind of stuff. It's just a matter, I believe, of having a trained ear to hear or not. Okay? That doesn't make anybody better than the other person. Okay? Exodus 3:4, wonderful example. When the Lord saw Moses, everybody say, the Lord saw Moses. Which connects with what 2 Chronicles 16:9 just says. Because the Lord looks to and fro on the earth, whoever is committed to him, that's the one that God is going to strengthen. So when the Lord saw Moses, because God noticed, or Moses got God's attention, right, that Moses was committed to God, so the Lord saw him. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses, here I am." Everybody say, "Here I am." In the Hebrew, that word is hineni. We've taught on this before. The Hebrew word hineni means, "Here I am with all I am, ready to do your will." That's fully committed to the will of God. Fully committed to the presence of God. Fully committed to be obedient to God. Amen. And that was Moses' reply. So going in that direction, understanding that, okay, I got to be committed to God as God wants to strengthen me. How am I committed to God? But check this out. Have you noticed the swan can walk on the ground, swim on a lake, and fly through the air? Three things, right? Walk on the ground, swim on a lake, and fly through the air. So like a swan, you too, brothers and sisters, can relate to three worlds. This is pretty fascinating. You can walk through the physical universe. You can also relate to the psychological world of the soul, the thoughts, feelings, choices. You have emotions, and you can express these emotions. But at any moment, you can take flight in the spirit and relate to our Heavenly Father in worship, prayer, and meditation. So turn to your neighbor and say, "You are like a swan." Being able to exist in three worlds. Yeah? I see Melissa taking a picture of it. I'll wait. Or I can email it to you. Right? We are able to exist in three worlds. And I found this. According to the medical news today, what percentage of our brain do we use? What percentage of our brain do we use? Now, according to a survey from 2013, around 65% of Americans believe that we only use 10% of our brains. Wow. But this is just a myth. According to an interview with neurologist Barry Gordon in Scientific American, he explained that the majority of the brain is almost always active. Now, the truth is that we can't really measure something like that. But think about it, though. You know, back in the 1700s and the 1800s, it was common for people to be able to speak multiple languages, right? Now, for us, I speak English, I speak Filipino, I speak Pidgin, because Pidgin is now an official language, right? But no, not really. But hey, I'll just go with that, right? But think about it, though. Do you think that you could use your brain just a little bit more? Now, do you think it's possible? Do you think it's possible that there's a section of your brain that can relate to a spiritual world, a heavenly world? Do you think so? Maybe, maybe not. You know, maybe that's too much, you know, too much Marvel Cinematic Universe, too much fiction, science fiction going on. But could it possibly be that there's a section of your brain that actually connects with the Spirit of God? Ah, thank you, Pastor Teresa. Because I go back to Isaiah 55 that says, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So God is saying that He wants to connect to us through our thoughts. And our thoughts is what's going to open up our hearts. Yeah? Yes, thank you. I need that encouragement. Makes sense though, right? Going back to 2 Kings. Then the king sent horses, chariots, and a large army to Dothan. They arrived at night and surrounded the city. The servant of Elisha got up early, and when he went out, he saw an army with horses and chariots all around the city. The servant said to Elisha, "Oh, my master, what can we do?" And Elisha said, "Don't be afraid. The army that fights for us is larger than the one against us." And that's why we sing, "The God of angel armies is always by my side." Great song. And so verse 17, it says, "Then Elisha prayed, 'Lord, open my servant's eyes, let him see.' The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." And some of you know this story well, of course. Elisha had the faith. He knew that they were surrounded by God's armies. Whereas his assistant, the prophet's assistant, he didn't even know what was going on. Number two, write in your notes to excel in love for our unseen world. Number one is to engage. Number two is to excel, just by faith. Right? To acknowledge, of course, that there is a different dimension, that there is a spiritual world that God exists in. And then He sent His one and only Son as a physical manifestation of who He is, so that we, you and I, can relate to Him. Amen. As to excel in love for our unseen world. Verse 18, as the enemy came down toward Elisha, and of course this is a wonderful example of love. As the enemy came down toward Elisha, he prayed to the Lord. He said, "Make these people blind. Make my enemies blind." So the Lord made the Aramean army blind as Elisha had asked. Verse 19, Elisha said to them, "This is not the right road. This is not the right city. Follow me." He is now, the Aramean army or the enemy is now under the will of God, and Elisha is leading him into the city, leading them into the city. "I'll take you to the man you are looking for." Then Elisha led them to Samaria. And after they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "Lord, open these men's eyes so they can now see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and the Aramean army saw that they were inside the city of Samaria. The king of Israel saw the Aramean army. He said to Elisha, "My father, should I kill them?" Now think about that time. It was a very barbaric time. People would not hesitate to thrust a sword into your stomach. It was very, very, very brutal, right? So Elisha said, "Okay, they are our enemies. We captured them. They wanted to kill us and eradicate us. Let's kill them all. This is our chance to kill them all." Right? And then verse 22, Elisha answered, "Don't kill them. You wouldn't kill people whom you captured with your sword and bow. Give them food and water." In other words, kill them with kindness. Now think about somebody that maybe you're fighting with. Think about maybe your boss that you can't stand. right? Maybe you want to punch your boss. Maybe there's somebody, I don't know, maybe an old rival, your classmate or something like that, and you want to do something nasty to them, right? And then the Lord telling you to give them food and water and let them eat and drink. Now let them go home to their master. That's an interesting shift, don't you agree? Verse 23, so he prepared a great feast for the Aramean army. They ate and drank. Then the king sent them away. They went home to their master. The soldiers of Aram did not come anymore into the land of Israel. So that was the end of the war. Right? Now think about that. Think about, I don't know, North Korea. Think about the Taliban, Afghanistan, Osama bin Laden, and all this kind of stuff. You have all these people wanting to come into the United States and terrorize our way of living. And then God say, no, treat them to a nice dinner. You're like, what? Fascinating shift, right? I mean, what is that? Another perspective. And perhaps the Lord knew that the Aramean army, they were tired of fighting because he had a higher perspective, right? He had an elevated perspective. And he said, no, don't kill them, feed them. Invite them to your luau, have a party. Feed them, right? Because when you feed others, they bring all the, you know, your guard comes down, your defenses come down when you eat, because it's very intimate when you eat. Yeah? Amen? So number three, go ahead and write in your notes there, to grow in your experience of the unseen. To grow in your experience of the unseen. Number one, we engage in the unseen, just acknowledge the fact that there is an unseen world, right? And then we, what is number two? Excel, yes, to excel. And then growing in our experience, just to know and to be able to see our eyes or to train our eyes, maybe to train our way of thinking, to receive, right, all that God is doing that we haven't normally noticed or seen before, amen? I love this story. It's brought, came to my mind. You guys remember John Glenn when he went up into space, right? He was the astronaut and went up into space. And his response was what he saw up there. He said, in space, John Glenn saw the face of God. It just strengthens my faith. Now, this is a view from the International Space Station. Right, so just imagine God's view from the earth, and he's able to see all the different continents, he's able to see the different oceans, and all that kind of stuff. And all we see is New Hope Hala'iva for now. Right? Very, very limited view. But God sees all that. So John Glenn, by faith, said, I saw the face of God. I saw all of God there. Interesting story. So like, back in the 60s and 70s, some of you guys remember the space race going on with the United States and Russia. Who would get to space first and all that? In contrast, Yuri Gagarin, as his close friend and cosmonaut colleague Alexei Leonov tells it, then Premier Nikita Khrushchev cornered Gagarin. He says, so tell me, Yuri, did you see God up there? And after a moment's pause, Gagarin answered, yes, sir, I did. Khrushchev frowned. Now, Khrushchev is like the president. So imagine Donald Trump walking up to you, right, and saying, did you see God up there? And you're like, keep in mind, now the Soviet Union, they're communistic. If you go against the government, what are they going to do to you? Right? So, of course, he intimidated Yuri Gagarin. And so Khrushchev frowned, don't tell anyone, he said. A very atheistic society, refusing to acknowledge the existence of God. A few minutes later, the head of the Russian Orthodox Church took Gagarin aside. So this is like the Pope coming up to you now, right? Or Pastor Wayne coming up to you, right? The Russian Orthodox Church, the head of the Russian Orthodox Church, took Gagarin aside. So tell me, my child, he asked Gagarin, did you see God up there? Gagarin hesitated. Gagarin hesitated and replied, no, sir, I did not. Don't tell anyone.
So in a way, he kind of refused, right? He refused to. You remember in that scripture when Jesus says, if you deny me in front of people, I would deny you in front of the Father? And that brought to my mind, is that what Yuri did, right? But with the understanding that, you know, he may have grew up in the Russian Orthodox Church, they're very conservative. They're very conservative, the Russian Orthodox Church. But to lie like that in front of the Pope, he must have been really, really intimidated by Khrushchev. But here's what's interesting. I did a follow-up, right, to find out what exactly happened. 7 years after becoming the first man to fly into outer space, Soviet cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin died in a plane crash under mysterious circumstances. Or was it really mysterious? A bunch of James Bond kind of stuff going on, right? I don't know. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that in. But it's a great illustration of seeing God by faith, and then for people to deny the existence of God, amen, and denying the fact that God is in our midst. Now, as we sing about, you know, God's angels army, how many of you guys believe that the angels are flying all around us and they're swirling all around us? Now, outside of church, woohoo, those Christians, they're kind of woohoo, right? Again, I go back to Halloween. You guys believe there's a dark side. Why are horror movies so popular? Because they're toying with the idea that there's a dark side. They're toying with that, you know, and then there's like witches and sorcery and all this kind of stuff. They're toying with the fact that there is a supernatural side to the way we live. Well, why not focus on the light side, the happy side, the loving side, all right? Of who God is, amen? All right. Okay, so number one, what do we talk about? We talked about engaging in the unseen world. We talked about, number two, excelling. And then we talked about experiencing. Amen. So I'm going to ask the ushers to go ahead and pass out the elements this morning. Thank you, James. So as you know, this is the last weekend of the month, and of course we have family weekend. My favorite time of the month. Amen. But before we do that, we want to give you guys an opportunity to receive the Lord if you haven't done that. And maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, I want to be able to see the unseen. I want to know this God who wants to elevate my thoughts. I want to know this God that is wanting me to seek him. Amen. If you're here this morning, before we go into communion, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we want to give you the opportunity to make sure that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Amen. And I remember when I was a very, very young Christian, I grew up Catholic, very proud of my faith because it was a wonderful foundation for me. But I never knew how to make my faith my own because I realized that I was living my faith through my mother, actually. My mother gave me a wonderful foundation of revering Jesus Christ, understanding the significance of having faith, portraying to me or displaying for me that there was a spiritual world that I did not understand. I did not. And there was a time where somebody came into my life and he said, Glenn, do you want to live a blessed life? I said, yeah, I think so. But what does that mean?
He said, first you have to live a life worth blessing. I go, what does that mean? He says, receive Jesus into your heart. Right? So that was my shift. That was my very, very first shift. And ever since then, I began, you know, kind of just making changes in my life and learning and growing and doing all sorts of things. Where today, I am a minister of the Word of God and a minister of God, but I did not grow up thinking that I would ever do this. But what's exciting, brothers and sisters, is that God has a future for you. And I will even wager to say that you don't exactly know what the future holds for you, because as we give our lives to God, it's been a wonderful adventure. It's been a wonderful journey to see what He has been doing, not only in our lives, but in all of our lives. Amen. It's just been amazing. And so if you're looking for that and you want that and you're here this morning, and say, you want to know the God that shows me the things that I haven't seen before. I want to know this God. If that is you, just go ahead and raise your hands to Him. Amen. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Glenn, you know what? I used to walk with Him before, but I walked away. I don't know what happened, but I'm back. I need the love of God. I want to experience the love of God again in my life. If that's you this morning, just go ahead and raise your hands and reach out to Him. I see you, brother. I see you, sister. God sees you, sister, over there. Amen. You can put your hands down. Absolutely. Just take a moment. Take a moment to breathe it in and to relax and to rest in His presence. It's just a wonderful place to be. To quit striving. Come as you are, because God loves you exactly the way you are right now. You don't have to impress anyone. You don't have to get cleaned up. In fact, the Word of God says, come and I will give you rest. I love that word. I love that promise. So receive that this morning, amen? And repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank You for Your presence. I thank You, Holy Spirit, that from this day forward, as You are my Lord, You will teach me, You will guide me, You will rebuke me if need be. But I know, and I love Your presence, because I have a hope and a future to prosper and to glorify You with my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So everybody look up. And as we celebrate communion this morning, really it's a celebration. And as He sat down with His disciples, the Word tells us that He reclined with His disciples. And I imagine just kind of lying down in the living room, you know, a bunch of dudes kind of getting around and having a wonderful time, talking story, just being intimate with one another, being real with one another. I can only imagine that scene, right? And then Jesus took the bread, and after He blessed it, He broke it, and He passed it around to His disciples, and He said, take, eat, for this is my body that will be broken for all of mankind. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the same way, when He took the cup of the promise, the cup of the new covenant, because we live in the new promise, the new covenant. As we become Christ followers, our lives will never be the same ever, ever, ever again, in Jesus' name. And as He explained to them, He said, take, drink, for this is my blood that washes away all sin, past, present, and future. Wow. Amazing. And as he freely went to the cross to die for us, all it took that day, brothers and sisters, yeah, was just one drop of his blood. But I imagine the excruciating pain that he had to go through. And then as he displayed his love for us at the cross of Calvary, how many of you are very thankful that he did that? Because now we have a way. We have a home, right? Faith. There's forgiveness that is available to everybody, because it's impossible for sin to enter heaven. And all we need to do is to turn from our old ways, because heaven is our home. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, receive the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Lord God, we thank you for the new promise, the new covenant, as we live forever and ever with you until you call us home, Lord God. So not only do we remember, but more importantly, we celebrate the victory that you have won for us. We thank you for your presence here this morning. And I ask, Lord God, your blessing upon all who is seated here, who have come humbly before you, Lord God, and within the sound of my voice, if you're joining us online in different countries, hallelujah, and our loved ones at home, to you be the glory forever and ever. Amen.